Welcome to Building Great Leaders with Dr. Les Olala.
When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice.
On today's program, Dr. Olala focuses our attention on what the scripture says about having an uplook for the downcast. This message was recorded at a Bible college chapel in 2011. Building Great Leaders provides instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Our speaker, Dr. Les Olala, is the founder and director of Building Great Leaders and has been serving the Lord in full-time ministry for 50 years as a pastor, Bible college president, and evangelist. And now, an uplook for the downcast.
I'm going to preach this morning on a topic I've preached on before, but I feel it's probably necessary. You know, when people go through life, you are looking forward to going into summer. If I look out at the student body, I see faces, smiling faces, happy people. I see people with open Bibles. I see hunger, but only God knows what load you are carrying. Many of you are going into summer with great anticipation, carrying not a single load of care, just a tremendous vision. Some of you are graduating this year. You don't know what God has for you, and you may have a heavy heart in some areas that nobody knows about. They don't know what load you're carrying. They don't know what particular burden that you are facing. They don't know what uncertainties you have. They don't know what fears you have. But yet God does. And I want to take the model from David from chapter 42 and 43 of Psalms. And the uplook for the downcast. Here was David, called of God, had a vision, obviously had some failures in his life. He never minimized those. He came to tremendous repentance during these things. But yet we find the heart of a man who is literally longing for God. And as you look at your summer opportunities, your summer ministries, you don't know what lurks around the corner because you are fighting an enemy who does not play games. When you accept a responsibility in ministry, some people are masters at just taking advantage of opportunities but never carry responsibilities. Some of you are taking on responsibilities for this summer and will be in positions of great pressure, but yet you will see great fruit. And what happens when you become discouraged, or what happens when you hit the wall? How do you respond? We look at the reasons that David had for his downcast condition. That refrain three times, why are you cast down, O my soul? And as we look at the whole layout and we look at that whole picture, when we read these chapters, we find 51 times personal pronoun, either I or me or my, 51 times. Showing the focus that David had on himself that needed to be turned. We have to understand it is not about me. It is not about us. It is about him. And what is it that quiets the soul? What is it that wakens our soul? And what is it that directs our soul? And what is it that will eventually quiet our soul? One of the things that will hinder us, that was true of David here, is stop looking at yourself and start looking at God. Let's look in Psalm 42 and verse 1. As the heart pants after the water brook, so pants my soul after you, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, and with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. First of all, stop looking at self and start looking at God. You might be a graduating senior, and there is a measure of uncertainty. And the tendency is to think, what's going to happen to me? Well, what about me, or how is this going to work out for me? And you will have a tendency sometimes to take your gaze away from the God who does know and the God who does care. Why do I become downcast? Well, my plans are not fulfilled. Look in verse 2. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? So we have Elohim and El. We have the object of our worship, but we also have the one of infinite power who is able to meet these things. And David said, I am literally thirsting after God. There is a longing desire in my soul after God. Has that ever happened in your life? I mean, you were so aching and so distraught that you could do nothing except thirst after God. And you see, you're not going to be satisfied. Let's look in Psalm 63, a verse my wife and I memorized several of these chapters. This was one of those chapters. And the key of this chapter is soul satisfaction. Psalm 63 and verse 1. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. Those of you who have a problem with morning devos, have a problem with morning devos because you are the focus of your life, not God. And you think, why would I have to do this? Well, there's going to come a time in your life when it's not going to be, do I have to? It is to me, I have no alternative because I haven't slept last night. In fact, a good reference would be Psalm 77. David said, I didn't sleep. I don't sleep because my heart is hungering and longing after God. We are so accustomed to things being comfortable for us. We are so accustomed to things going our way. We are so accustomed to be able to be the dictator of our own direction and the dictator of the feelings of our own soul. O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no water is, to see thy power and thy glory, so as I have seen thee in the sanctuary. David said, I just hunger and I long and I thirst that I might see your power and I might see your glory. This summer in your extension ministry, some of you will get in a circumstance where you're going to go back in the office of the camp where you're working or the church where you're interning, and you're going to close that door and lock that door and lay on the floor and say, God, I cannot go another step until you show me your glory and you show me your power. All the experts will be counseling you from 1,000 miles away. But it's you and God alone in that room. Why? Because thy loving kindness is better than life. My lips shall praise thee. David said, your loving kindness is better than life itself. Thus will I bless thee while I live. I will lift up my hands in thy name. I believe it was Scorby who said this song needs to be sung every single day in the life of every believer. My soul shall be satisfied with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise thee with joyful lips. When I remember thee upon my bed and meditate on thee in the night watches, because thou hast been my help, therefore, in the shadow of thy wings will I rejoice. I love this phrase, my soul follows hard after you, and your right hand upholds me. But those that seek my soul to destroy it shall go into the lower parts of the earth. They shall fall by the sword. There shall be a portion for foxes, for the king shall rejoice in God. Everyone that swears by him shall glory, but the mouth of them that speak lies shall be stopped. David was in a situation where he was attacked. The mouths of those who were speaking lies that needed to be stopped. But David found out the answer was not focusing on the liars. His answer was found in seeking God early and crying out unto God and thirsting and hungering. The same thing that we see in Psalm 42. And then he said, my tears have been my meat day and night while they continually say unto me, where is thy God? My plans are not fulfilled. David had remembrance of going to the feast, going to the house of God with the people of God. Why do we take so lightly gathering as a body of believers? Why do we see it as a pain? God has called some people, I think, here to China and started another house church movement. Why is it such a pain for us to leave our comfort zone to go into a local church body to be where that local church is gathering? Because David's great memories were centered in the time when he went with the people of God to appear before God in these times. My plans are not fulfilled. My feelings are not relieved. Verse 3, David said, my tears have been my meat all night. In other words, my daily portion has been tears. You get around people who have been through the fire, and there is something about their lives that is refreshing. Because their gaze is so far beyond this world. Their gaze is so far beyond what I can have in this life. Their gaze is so far beyond what is available for me now. And yet, he said, my daily portion has been tears. And then my questions are not answered. When they continually say, where is thy God? David, I thought your God was the big thing to you. Where is he now? Have you ever prayed and felt that God didn't hear? Have you ever prayed and felt abandoned by God? You say, I wonder what is it about me? God obviously has favorites. I am not one of his favorites. And therefore he chooses not to answer my prayer. And you sit there downcast because your plans are not being fulfilled. Your feelings are not being relieved. And in your mind, your questions are not being answered. Well, stop looking at the past and start looking to the future. Look in verse 4. When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone, note the past tense is here, I had gone with the multitude. And this is the only place where this word is used in the Bible. That particular word, multitude. And the picture is massive bowls. In other words, we went with this, with this multitude of people, with this mass of people moving. They went to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with the multitude of them that kept holy day. David was now off, being pursued. Absalom was making an attempt to take over the kingdom. David had to flee. You can just picture David fleeing, crawling up the Mount of Olives to flee out to the desert. Because Absalom was on the move to take over and to become the king. And so he was looking what used to be instead of dealing with what is. Why do we need to look to the future? What gives a Christian hope? God's deliverance. Look in verse 1 of chapter 43. Judge me, O God. Plead my cause against an ungodly nation. O deliver me from the deceitful and unjust man. God promises deliverance. God promises strength. For thou art the God of my strength. Verse 2 of chapter 43. And this is the word El Shaddai. This is the one who is the strength giver. Thou art the God of my strength. Why dost thou cast me off? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of mine enemies? I think probably you're going to discover as you go through life and as you go through ministry, you are going to anticipate the world is not going to like what you say. You're going to discover that the world is going to say, you are wrong. The disheartening thing is where you have to cast yourself on God is when you find yourself getting completely destroyed by the tongues of those in whom you've given a lot of your time and invested a lot of your time. That is in pastoral work where you're going to find the greatest need to cry out unto God for a proper focus. And God's direction. Verse 3, O send out thy light and thy truth, let them lead me. Let them bring me into the holy hill and to thy tabernacles. What gives us hope? God promises to deliver. God promises strength. God gives satisfaction and direction. He is the one who satisfies the longing soul. And then stop searching for reasons and start resting on promises. Why would God do so and so? Or why doesn't God do so and so? And you start looking for reasons. When you are in a situation that is desperate, you are not looking for explanations. You are looking for hope. And never doubt in darkness what God has revealed to you in light. Because you will be in situations sometimes where it will get very, very dark. Don't doubt in that darkness what God has revealed to you. You know, it's very easy to go the wrong direction in the dark. Those of us who travel large percentages of times in families' homes. And I guess we could all write books on traveling and staying in homes, because we all have stories and we all have experiences. And you kind of dread, you get your bearings at night because you know the lights are going to go out, and then you have to know where is that restroom and where is this and where are their rooms and so on. And then when people call, say, does Les mind staying in a home? And my secretary says, no, he doesn't mind staying in a home. Long as, and there are a couple different factors that have to be made. And one of them that I request is, if there's four girls in one bathroom, I won't stay there. You hear hair dryers. How long does it take to dry hair? I come out. Light still under the door. Oh, Harold. And then I might have to get in a car. I'm going to have to borrow a car and go to a gas station. And then I'm trying to get my mind ready to preach. Come back. I've been in homes where I've gotten up and it's been total darkness. Not even street light. You stay in some place, there are no street lights. And then the not even night lights, because that drains a little bit of electricity. I remember one home I was in, I took a bearing and I was feeling my way. I'm illustrating it is easy to go the wrong direction in the dark. And I'm feeling doors. Okay, that was the first door I saw. Push this door, push that door, and finally find where you're supposed to go. And I had breakfast the next morning. I said, I hope I didn't scare anybody last night, because I was on a search and I might have pushed some doors open in the midst of that search. Those of you who traveled can relate to that very, very much. Chapter 42 and verse 8. Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime. In the night, his song shall be with me, my prayer unto the God of my life. Cast all your cares upon him, for he cares for you. God promises to be faithful. There again, 42 and verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, my prayer unto the God of my life. God promises to forgive and to cleanse. Psalm 51. Psalm 32. We're very familiar with these chapters and familiar with these passages. Claim these promises. He promises to be our refuge. You don't understand that at first. But as you go on, you will discover that that time of starting to build your biography that God is my refuge and God is my strength and God is my life and God is my victory and God is love and God is holy, you're going to find that these attributes of God will become your anchor point to pull you through some of the dark times of life. And God promises to lead us. Send thy light and thy truth. Let them lead me. Let them bring me into thy holy hill and to thy tabernacle. The word of God will be that guide for us. I hope you never resent the fact that you get up in the morning and you have the opportunity to just open the word and let the word of God speak. How rich is that? I know when you have exams and you have projects and you have things, it's very easy to let those things take priority. In many cases, you do need to get those things done first before you can really concentrate. But commit those to the Lord and say, Lord, I need to get these things and I'm going to meet. And by the way, let me say this. Never let your devotional system become the source of your guilt. You have a system that can produce guilt. You have structure that gives you guidelines. We try to help you to get a structure, not to lay guilt on you. Get some kind of a structure, get a schedule, get a time, get a place, but don't let your system become the source of your guilt. Because you say, well, my system is I get up and I read, I do my reading and I check that off, and then I do this and I check that off. And I get that, and then I read my prayer list. And Lord, be with so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so, and so-and-so. Oh, I better write to them. Let them know I prayed for them today, so-and-so. And then you say, oh, I am so godly. You miss 2 days. And you, I am so ungodly. Your system has become the source of your guilt. Number one, learn how to enjoy God. There are times when you just take a walk and say, God, I just need to talk. And praise the Lord. Maybe your system wasn't used for 2 days. That doesn't mean you're in the throes of sin and you're an ungodly person. That's not what that is all about. We have the word to lead us and to guide us and to direct us. When the outlook is grim, try the uplook. Because it is that which will bring satisfaction to the soul. And I think between chapter 42 and 43 of Psalms and Psalm 63, these three chapters that can become so needful to bank in your memory bank. These are times when you can lay in bed and the Word of God will talk to you while you are there laying and lifting your heart and directing your heart to Him. Keep these things in mind. You are not the issue. He is our focus. It's not about me. It's not about you. It is about Him. And as we learn and as we invest, as we make our summer plans, let Him lead us. Let Him guide us. Let Him direct us. But we cannot live with depression. People who live always under strain are not letting God love them. There are some people I call strainos. I was praying with a guy in Texas one time. Oh God, it's too hot. And I'm watching him while he's praying. And I said, do you think all that straining is impressing God? And it's like he was trying to communicate his sincerity by the fact that I'm going to strain my face real hard. And I thought, boy, there's something not right. And a few days later, he came to me and unloaded a horrible situation in his life that had been hidden. You learn to enjoy the Lord, and somebody who can never seem to relax, can never seem to just enjoy His Word and enjoy God and be enjoyable to be around because God is on your life. And I'm not trying to be funny here. There are some people that are just cannot learn to rest in Him because He did it all. But this today was kind of that kind of a message. I knew I had a burden to help us get ready for summer and yet to get a focus on God and yet maybe smorgasbord where some of you left most of it and some of you picked up a few morsels.
Thank you for joining us for Building Great Leaders today, Dr. Les Olala, speaking on An Uplook for the Downcast. This program is a ministry of Building Great Leaders, providing instruction, encouragement, and resources for Christian leaders, and is produced by Harvest Ministries on Guam. You can learn more at bgleaders.org, bgleaders.org. Join us again for more teaching from the Word of God next time on Building Great Leaders.